food safety, environmental impacts, genetically modified crops. These are some of the controversies that we have in the field of agriculture today. But there is something else gaining popularity around the world, and that would be the role of the nutrient element, silicon, in the field of agriculture. And so I welcome you all to my presentation on the release pattern of monosilicic acid from different sources of silicon in Louisiana soils. Now, this topic might come with a lot of controversies, but there is an overwhelming number of reports about the benefits of this nutrient element in various crops around the world, especially when crops are subjected to abiotic and biotic stress. And today, scientists have identified soils that are deficient in this element. For instance, the oxisols in Brazil and our own histosols in Florida. In fact, silicon fertilization has become a common practice in the histosols of Florida. And as soil scientists, the major issues that we face today is to come up with the best rate of this fertilizer and also to come up with the best source of this fertilizer. And in order to do that, we would have to have a better understanding about the chemical dynamics of these fertilizers in different soils. We would have to know about the plant available index about these fertilizers and also the critical silicon level in different soils. And silicon does not exist as an elemental form in the soil. Moreover, monosilicic acid is the form taken up by plants. And this form is lost from the soil during various processes like plant uptake, microbial uptake, leaching, adsorption, and polymerization. And I would be discussing two major processes. The first one would be adsorption. As most of us know, adsorption is a phenomenon controlled by the solution phase factors as well as solid phase factors. The solution phase factors, meaning the silicon species. The monosilicic acid tends to get ionized to form the silicate ions when the soil pH reaches close to 8. And these ions tend to get adsorbed more than the neutral monosilicic acid species. And the solid phase factors, meaning the clay content or the organic matter content in different soils. The next process that I would be discussing is polymerization, which is in fact nothing but the formation of polysilicic acid from the monosilicic acid. And polysilicic acid is a form that is unavailable for plant uptake. So in order to fulfill these, to understand these processes, we framed our experiment with two main objectives. The first one, to look at the adsorbed fraction from the soil, and the second one, to understand the effect of addition of different sources of these fertilizers in different soils during a period of 200 days. So this would help us to look into the solution concentration of monosilicic acid. And the two main sources that we used in our experiment, the first one, the wollastonite, which is 99% pure calcium silicate, and the second source is the silicate slag, which is being commonly used by the producers, which is cheap and also a good liming agent. We collected 6 different soils from different parts of the state of Louisiana, including the clay soils, the silt loam soils, as well as a high pH soil and also an organic soil. We determined the pH, the total clay content, and the organic matter content in all the 6 soils. We believed these properties to be the most influential in determining the processes like adsorption and polymerization. So you can see there is a soil, Kowali muck, which has an organic matter content as high as 8%. So to fulfill my first objective, I prepared the pure monosilicic acid in the lab and used this in 1 gram soil with 25 ml sodium chloride solution, 0.1 molar, and prepared 5 different concentrations of silicon and incubated all the 6 soils for a period of 30 days, during which I took the supernatant solution at predetermined intervals to find out the concentration of monosilicic acid in the solution, and the adsorbed quantity was calculated. The second experiment was set up in a similar fashion, wherein 23 ppm of silicon was added in the form of wollastonite or the slag, and also 1 gram soil was added with the same quantity of wollastonite or slag or left untreated as the control. And again, the soils were incubated in 25 ml of 0.1 molar sodium chloride solution. And it was incubated for a period of 200 days. And I looked into the concentration of monosilicic acid in the solution to find out the change with time. So coming to the results from my first experiment, which would be the adsorption experiment, we found the maximum adsorbed quantity was in the Corsica silt loam, which is of course the high pH soil. So this can be attributed to the fact that, again, at high pH, the monosilicic acid tends to form the ionic species that tends to get more adsorbed. And it was followed by the Kovalee muck and the clay soils and the minimum in the silt loam soils. When we looked at the rate of adsorption, the maximum rate of adsorption was found in the organic soils, followed by the clay soils and then the minimum in the silt loam soils. So to summarize the results from my first experiment, I would say the maximum quantity adsorbed was in the high pH soil and the maximum rate of adsorption was in the organic soil. I wouldn't say the results were fascinating because this was something that we kind of expected. So when we looked into the results from the second experiment, this was where things got really interesting. All the soil suspensions that had wollastonite as a source of silicon had increasing concentration of monosilicic acid in the solution. But all the soil suspensions where slag was added as a source of silicon showed no detectable concentration of monosilicic acid in the solution. And this was observed in all the other soils as well. So the first question that I had was it a soil effect or a treatment effect? So when we looked into the solutions with no soil added, we found a similar pattern. Slag showing no detectable concentration of monosilicic acid in the solution. The next question was there any release of monosilicic acid at all from slag? So in order to find that, I did a side experiment with different increments of slag and wollastonite. So I added as low as 10 milligrams of slag, and now I found there is detectable concentration of monosilicic acid in solution. So that means there is a release. The next question would be, where is this monosilicic acid from the solution going? And this experiment gave us another hint or a clue that the organic soil, which is on the top, the blue dots, the organic and the clay soils, which had the higher rate of adsorption, had the higher concentration of monosilicic acid in solution. So it is clearly not adsorption that's taking away the monosilicic acid from the solution. And also, we can say this is a treatment effect also controlled by soil type. So the next possibility would be polymerization. That is the polymerization of monosilicic acid to form polysilicic acid, which would have formed heavy molecules that could have got settled down at the bottom of the tubes and we would detect nothing in the supernatant solution. So I formulated a hypothesis, again, with the different soil types. If it was a silt loam soil, the concentration of monosilicic acid required before it got polymerized would be very less. But if it was a clay loam, clay soil, or an organic matter soil, organic soil, the concentration of monosilicic acid required would in fact be greater, and polymerization would take place much later and only at a greater concentration. That means if there is a higher adsorption in a soil, there would be a decrease in polymerization. So if in fact all the monosilicic acid was polymerized and was at the bottom of the tubes on the soils, I took out the soil samples from the sodium chloride solution and I extracted it with 0.5 molar acetic acid. 0.5 molar acetic acid is a reagent that would depolymerize all the polysilicic acid to form the monosilicic acid. And yes, I got all the monosilicic acid back into the solution. So here we noticed that slag, in fact, had released a lot more concentration of monosilicic acid. And you can see all the red bars, that's the slag with the soil, having a lot more monosilicic acid in the solution than the soil suspensions with wollastonite. We also noticed that minimum concentration of monosilicic acid was in the Kovalee muck soil that had the maximum adsorption. So in fact, there was more adsorption and polymerization in soil with slag and wollastonite. So this graph also gave us enough information to calculate the adsorbed quantity and the polymerized quantity and to find a relationship between the two. When we looked at the relationship between the soil type, adsorption, and polymerization, we found when the adsorption increased, there was a decrease in the polymerized quantity of monosilicic acid. So in fact, the hypothesis was true. So again, the question that remained was, what were the reasons for the slag and wollastonite, the two silicon sources, to behave very differently? Why was the polymerization greater in the case of slag and less in case of wollastonite? We looked into the XRD patterns of slag and wollastonite, and we found an entirely different pattern for wollastonite and slag. Wollastonite was found to be a pure crystalline substance, whereas slag is found to be a polycrystalline having a more amorphous nature. This would mean slag has a higher rate of dissolution than wollastonite. So to confirm that, I did an experiment with different, with 2 hours and slag and wollastonite added in acetic acid solution. And I found the amount of monosilicic acid released from slag was way much higher than wollastonite. And of course, the rate of dissolution from slag is much greater than wollastonite. So the second reason would be that when I looked into the EDX SEM images, I found that wollastonite had a more uniform structure with all the substances showing calcium and silicon and maybe traces of aluminium and magnesium. But slag also had particles that were rich in aluminium and magnesium. And these ions catalyzes the whole process of polymerization and accelerates the polymerization. So this would be another reason why polymerization was greater in the case of slag and not wollastonite. So there were many people asking me why this happened in my laboratory setup and why don't we notice this happening in the soil. In soil, in fact, the concentration of the dissolution is counteracted by various other processes like microbial uptake, leaching, and plant uptake. But I had only the rate of adsorption in my laboratory setup. So at a high pH and a higher rate of dissolution, with the presence of aluminium and magnesium, polymerization tend to happen at a greater extent. So as a conclusion, I would say the rate of release from the different fertilizers would depend on the soil properties, especially the adsorption capacity. The organic and the clay soils would require a lot more fertilizer than the silt loam soils. And addition of a large quantity of these fertilizers on silt loam soils can lead to a higher chance of polymerization and making monosilicic acid unavailable to plants. And rate of dissolution should be considered when we decide the quantity of a fertilizer. And also the presence of metal ions like aluminium and magnesium can make the availability of monosilicic acid lesser in a fertilizer material. So I would say with increasing demand for food and this element proving to be a stress alleviating factor, it is time we converted the controversies and the mysteries of silicon into simple explanations and make the use of it to the fullest potential in the field of agriculture. Thank you.
We do have time for a question.
Yes, there would be a greater release if I kept the solutions to be shaken continuously, but I don't want that to be taking place because that's not exactly what's happening in the soil. So what I did was I shook them for 2 hours and then I left them standing, and then during the predetermined intervals, I would shake them again for 2 hours and then centrifuge and then do the analysis.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Excellent job.